for Brother Eddie to come. He's going to come bring to us some more good preaching. You pray.
You know, I wouldn't mind if I just had 5 minutes. And you probably wouldn't either. I tell you, I sure enjoyed that. What a blessing. I'm glad that God still raising up young men. There was a period of time there back about 7, 8, 9 years ago that I didn't hear of any young men being called to preach. And I personally thought it could be that the Lord wasn't going to need them. And, of course, you know, he wouldn't call men to preach and then take them home. And if you hear there comes a time when God's not calling a lot of young men to preach, it could be he's getting ready to come for us. And certainly that is correct. Boy, I tell you, I enjoyed that. Appreciate it, fellas, so very much. I want us to open our Bibles tonight to the book of John, chapter number 14, please. I would ask that you'd pray for my wife. She's very sick this afternoon and evening. And I just about called and said I wasn't going to be able to make it. And she said, you do and you won't make it. That's what she said. And I said, well, I hate to leave you up on this mountain. She said, I'd rather be right here as anywhere I know. And she's just eating something that hadn't settled with her, hadn't set well with her, and she's very sick. And my wife has some difficulties, but thank you for praying for her. And I pray that she'll get over this before tomorrow night, or even before I get back would be a blessing. And pray that the Lord would touch her and help her. I've got a real burden to preach tonight. And all evening, God has been pushing this in my soul. And only preachers know what you're talking about. Sometimes you'll get 5 or 10 outlines stick in the fly leaf of your Bible. And then when you get to the pulpit, you don't know still if you've got the right one or not. That's normally when God's not going to say much. And I used to beat myself up all the time over that. But then God let me know there's some places not saying anything. But all day today, this has been in my heart, and it's gotten bigger and bigger. And I trust that it'll be beneficial for us tonight. I was jumped on by a couple of fellas when I came in for cutting the message off too short tonight, last night. And, of course, you won't be able to say that tonight because we've already had 10 minutes plus. Well, I got one amen right there. Scares everybody to death, doesn't it? No, I'm just kidding with you. Notice, if you will, in John chapter number 14 and verse number 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. What a very unusual word that the Lord gave. Matter of fact, this word, of course, is contradictory to a lot of beliefs. I do know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so we know that God loved the world. We also understand that the Lord Jesus loves all of his own. That is right. But somewhere here, I find in this scripture an unusual love affair. I find here where he said, and there's some stipulations put on this. He said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So we see concerning this love here, it begins with someone loving him. In other words, it's not him loving them first. But I do know that we love him because he first loved us. But that's just the elementary love. I'm glad that I love him because he first loved me. But sometimes my love toward him grows cold, but his love toward me never does. But he said here, he that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he said, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Hallelujah. And then he said, and I will love him. I'm telling you, that's got a hold of my soul. I don't understand all I need to know about it, but I can tell you this, I'm very interested in getting God to really love me. Hey, I'm interested. I'm glad that he loves me for who I am. But oh, for that special love that would come my direction just because I love him more and I desire him more. Oh, I want that. I want that love to be a premier and to reign in my own heart and in my own life. Now, I really do think that there's an individual in the Bible that we can look at to kind of get a little insight into this special kind of love. In the book of John, five times, it's mentioned there the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, I know that he loved all of them, but it's that special love. I want to look at that tonight. And I want to preach on a scriptural design for a special disciple. Let's ask God to help us, Father. Thank you for the privilege you've given us together here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing. Thank you, Lord, for these good messages by these young men. I appreciate, Lord, what you've done for them. I pray now that you would help us in this hour. God, you know my need. My throat's not at its best. I sure do need you to touch it. And I pray you would help us tonight. Oh, Holy Ghost, to be sensitive to you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being saved. I pray now you would arrange the atmosphere as you would so design. And dear God, you would deal in the hearts of the unsaved and bring them unto the acknowledgement of yourself. But oh, Lord, tonight, would you somehow move in our hearts and help us, Lord, to get just some kind of a little glimpse on that special disciple whom you loved. And Lord, if there was one that you loved, maybe there could be another that you would. Oh God, would you help us, I pray. And we'll thank you for what you do. For it is in Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. I want to look tonight. Notice, if you will, please, of course, we find that all the disciples, for the exception of Judas Iscariot, was saved by the grace of God. I believe all of them were loved by Christ. I believe that he loved them all. Matter of fact, the Bible says in John 13:34, he said to those disciples, he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. He was talking to all of them. Boy, isn't it good to be loved by God? I'm glad that I'm loved by him tonight. And I believe all of them occupied a permanent place with God. I personally believe that once you get in, they ain't no getting out. See, there's three ways you can get into a family according to the, there's three ways. You get into a family by birth, you get into a family by adoption, and you get into a family by marriage. I'm glad you can get into a family all three ways. Now, there's only one way to be saved, but I'm glad when you get in that one way, you got in all three ways. I'm glad I'm birthed in, I'm glad I'm adopted in, and I'm glad I'm married in. And when you get in that many ways, there ain't no getting out. In other words, when you're born, you can never become unborn. And then when you're born again, you can never become unborn again. Certainly that is right. I believe they all occupied a permanent place. Let me just read here in Matthew chapter 10, just for the sake of identifying those that were his disciples. He says in Matthew 10 verse 2, he said the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now I want to say I read those just to name those 12 men that the Lord chose to be his special disciples. And I personally believe, for the exception of Judas Iscariot, they all occupied a personal, a permanent place with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But then among the 12, there was three that occupied a prominent place with the Lord. On four different occasions, we'll mention three of them. There was an elite group, Peter, James, and John, that got to go and see more of him than the others did. Amen. I find in Luke chapter 8, they went with Jairus, or with Jesus, down to the house of Jairus, and they saw there resurrection power, where the Lord raised him from the dead, or raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Boy, I tell you, I long for resurrection power, don't you? But then he also, in chapter 9 of Luke, he took them to the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John, and was transfigured before them. Not only did they see resurrection power in chapter 8, but they see reigning power in chapter 9, where the Lord revealed to them himself how it's going to be during the millennial kingdom. Oh, for that kind of power. And then he takes them in Matthew 26. He takes them into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he leaves the disciples outside, but he takes Peter, James, and John inside the garden. There they get to see resolving power. What you got to do to get ready to die for God. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are you saying?" I'm saying what we need in these days is more dead men preaching. Amen. You know why we're not getting as much accomplished, no more accomplished than what we are? Is that there's still too much of us involved in it. But if we could ever die to ourselves, Paul said in Romans 6 that I was crucified with him and I need to reckon this old man dead. I'm telling you, there's too much of me involved in the ministry. I need to get rid of as much of me as I can. Somebody said, "How do you know when you're dead, preacher?" I don't like you, Lazarus. He don't mind. You're about the worst excuse for a preacher or a man I've ever saw. It don't bother him. Boy, you're doing a great job, Lazarus. Same response. Whether you talk bad about him or whether you talk good about him, he can't hear nothing because he's dead. There's only one voice he can respond to. Oh, everybody else can say whatever they want to say to Lazarus. It's not going to affect him one bit. But boy, there's another voice that he's got his ear tuned to. I'm telling you, and when he gives a command, he comes forth. If we could get to where we could hear only the voice of the Lord, it sure help us. So we see that these three occupied a prominent place. But then I want to deal tonight, God being my helper, with one of those three who occupied a personal place. And that was John the Beloved, that disciple whom Jesus loved. You know, as a young preacher, Brother Dale, as a young preacher back yonder years ago, it's about so long I can't hardly remember it anymore. Back yonder, Brother Jim Bow, Brother Buster, and I'd run the country and preach. And boy, I'd long for that glory power like the Transfiguration Mount. Boy, I wanted to get in that, and I strove for that. Then I went through that area of desiring that resurrection power, and we need them both. But since I've got old, there's one place that occupies me more than any other. Somebody said, preacher, you love preaching more than you'll ever know. I love preaching, but I want to tell you what excites my heart more than anything. It's not the glory power in the service, but getting somewhere and leaning my head on the bosom of the Lord and feel the heartbeat of eternity and sense the breath of eternal life breathing down the nape of my neck and Him doing something for me there that you can't get anywhere else. I long for that personal place, that personal place. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just trying to say to you, forget all of the hype and the hoop and the holler. Get somewhere by yourself and get close enough to you to lay your head over on Him. See if it don't make a difference in your life. Well, praise God. A lot of times, you know, preachers say, well, we don't even have a meeting. If it wasn't a screaming and a hollering, I ain't interested in that anymore. I'm telling you, there's a handful of hearts always in every congregation that's really going to move toward the Lord. And if that could be your desire tonight, I say hallelujah. If we could get close enough to it to lay our head on His bosom, it'll sure make a difference in our life. I see here, you know, only in John's writing is it mentioned, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Some commentators, and having read some commentators, I find that's what they are, commentators. And some of them say that John was exalting himself when he penned down about himself that he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. I don't believe that about John, because this book, Brother Kenneth, is Holy Ghost written, Holy Ghost inspired. And I believe when old Brother John had that quill up, and he was, all he was doing was just providing the hand to hold the pen. there was another unseen hand. That's how much I believe the inspiration of this book right here. I believe those men just provided the hand to hold the pen. Hallelujah. And they pinned it down. I believe when old brother John was writing about Jesus as the Son of God, I believe the first time in chapter 13 when he started to pin down, the Holy Ghost said, put right there, son, the disciple whom Jesus loved. I believe John probably pulled his hand back and said, wait a minute, Lord. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea here. Let me put something else. Holy Ghost said, put down the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I believe he got the stirring in John's heart. And he probably pulled his hand back. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost said, son, I'm not putting this down to exalt you, but I want you to put this down just in case somebody years later reads that there is a special place. And there's a special love that there could be a Savior who would love that person in a special way. He said maybe it created a desire in their heart. Go ahead and put it down, John. Matter of fact, I'm going to make you put it down 5 times, which is the number of grace. And it'll be real grace operating in your soul if you're the disciple whom Jesus loves. I sense a little something here. Put it down, John. That disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, what made John so special? Why is he? We know Jesus loved Peter, Thomas. He loved James. He loved Judas. He loved them all. But John's that one. But he said, if he'll love me, my Father will love him. And I'll love him too. Boy, I'm interested in that. I'm so interested. What made him so special? Go with me, please, to John 13. We won't be long. Sound like we're about to preach up a storm. But notice here, John chapter number 13, look at verse number 23. This is the darkest day in these fellows' lives. Our brother just talked about being in that furnace of fire. Brother Dobson talked about those days of discouragement. Oh, there's never been a darker day in the lives of these disciples. Jesus is telling them, one of them's going to betray him. One of them is going to deny him. And then he's leaving, and where he goes, they can't come. And I'm telling you, that's bad news in one day. That's bad news. Now Jesus has just finished saying, there's going to be one of you that's going to betray me. Look at verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. What made John so special? Well, I want to say first, he had a unique leaning ability. In other words, when the skies clouded up and he didn't know which way to go, news that he's just received is so devastating, he don't know what to do. What does he do? He don't run from the Lord. He don't even get mad at the Lord. He just scoots up close to the Lord and leans his head over on his bosom. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, if you want to be that disciple whom Jesus loves, quit accusing God for your down times and quit being mad at him whenever things not fixed the way you think it should. And when the times get dark, lean on his bosom. You know what that's doing? That's really keeping his commandment. And the Father will love the one
that in their darkest day will cleave to the Son of God and lean on his bosom. And all of a sudden, Jesus said, and I'll love him too, or I'll love her too. Well, I forgot my handkerchief, but thank the Lord for these hillbilly napkins here. Listen, notice something. Notice what you get when you lean. I want you to just look at this with me. If you'll bear with me, we'll be done in a few minutes. Look at Matthew 26. Somebody's just liable to get some help tonight. Matthew chapter number 26. The Bible said in verse number 21, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Now get the picture. Here they are at the table. Jesus has just told them one's going to betray them. They began asking, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Well, Peter's a good man, but he couldn't get the Lord to answer. Nathanael and Bartholomew were good men, but they couldn't get the Lord to answer. But look in chapter number 13 where we were, of John. Simon Peter beckoning to him, beckoning to John, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. That's just like Simon Peter. Simon Peter, all of them said, Lord, is it I? Simon Peter said, John, John. Now John's got his head leaned over on Jesus' bosom. John, you ask him. None of the rest of us can get an answer. You ask him. Look at verse number 23. He then laying on Jesus' breast, he never even moved, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered. You say, what are you saying? I'm telling you, learning to lean will get you answers in troubled times. Oh my goodness, you need to get a hold of that. If you're leaning when the clouds roll in, you can get an answer from him when nobody else can. I got a dear preacher friend. If I called his name, everybody here would know him. How he'd been back yonder a few years ago. His wife tried to take her life. Now this dear man of God has dedicated his life to taking care of his wife. And I've been with him numerous times. And every now and again, that old preacher will call me and say, Brother Eddie, said, let me show you what the Lord showed me. You see, if he hadn't have been secluded in somewhere, leaning his head on Jesus' bosom just to get strength for another day, he'd have never got a word from the Lord. But I'm telling you, if you'll learn to lean, you can get answers when nobody else can. I got two grand boys, my oldest one's Downs. My youngest one, more than likely, and I wouldn't say this if my wife was here, more than likely my youngest one is autistic. He's nearly four now and he hadn't spoke a word, has all the symptoms. Boy, it's hard. I see my daughter and my wife and myself and all the rest of the family. It hurts. And a lot of questions, you know. But you know who I call? I preach this Sunday night. I don't give out a lot of requests for the simple fact it gives devil ammunition to set up ambush. about the need of my heart. I don't do that much. You never hear me pray out loud much, for the simple fact that if I don't say it out loud, the devil don't know what it is. Most of the time, it's just groans in my heart. But I call that old preacher. And I said, if you're talking to the Lord, would you say something to him about my grandboys? You know why? Because I know one leaning his head on the bosom of the Lord. Because the days have become dark, he can get answers when no one else can. Y'all listening to me tonight? He'll not only get you answers in troubled times, but it'll give you assurance in troubled times when you're leaning on his bosom. Look at John 13, verse 25 again. He then laying on Jesus' breast saith unto him. Now look at the wording. Lord, who is it? Now the rest of them is saying, Lord, is it I? Is it I? John doesn't say, is it I? John said, Lord, who is it? Because see, John chapter number 21 and verse number 20 gives us the real detail. Bible said, then Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? You know what I see there? John. He didn't know who it was, but he knew it wasn't him. Amen. Hey, I'm trying to say, you can't lean on his bosom and betray who he is. You can't lean on his bosom and deny who he is. Leaning on his bosom will give you assurance in troubled times. We'll get you answers in troubled times. Amen. So we see what made John special was that he had a unique leaning ability. Look in John 19, Jesus on the cross. There's five at the cross. I may preach this one night. I preach a message sometimes on Jesus, keep me near the cross. Where the Bible said in verse 25 of John 19, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. You know what made John special? Not only that he had a unique leaning ability, but he had an unconditional laboring ability. This amazes me. The greatest disciple among them was John. Yet John gets the job of mama sit. I mentioned this last night. He gets the job of mama sitting. The Bible said from that hour he took her into his own home. You began through the book of Acts. After the Lord ascends, now there's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. You'll find that John's mentioned in chapter 2, where he's in the upper room. Chapter 3, where he and Peter go to the temple to pray. Chapter 4, he's whipped for the testimony of the Lord. Chapter 5, John's mentioned but only referred to. And then the greatest disciple fades plumb off of the scene. You don't find John no more. You know, he don't surface again to Revelation. You don't find, when God's using Peter and Philip and Stephen and Luke, and the church is in its glory and in its beginning, when you see the church being established and Paul and Silas and Barnabas and all of those men, it's being used greatly by God. Where's John? Well, he's back yonder on Back Street. Mama sitting. You need to get this right here. You know of the disciple whom Jesus loved. You know what he'll do? Anything the Lord asks. The reason God don't use many and is because they want it in the limelight. They got to be noticed. They've got to be seen. And the reason there's no power of God and no touch of God and it's only a performance, it's that everybody's got to see what they can do. That ain't the disciple whom Jesus loves. Jimbo, the disciple whom Jesus loved, is back yonder secluded somewhere every day doing the ministry the Lord gave him to do. Somebody would say, well, I wouldn't have done it. Yeah, but if you've seen who it was, gave him the orders. Hey, if you ever get close enough to the old rugged cross and you see what he's done for you, you'll be willing to do anything for him. John can labor without applause. Let me say this, that this right here in the house of God just pretty much irritates me anyway. You go to a Coliseum anywhere. You go to some big singing outfit. You do anything the world's doing and it's this. Well, you can't tell it from the house of God anymore. Just give me a good hearty hallelujah or amen. And then every now and then, if God gets in it and you want to jump up and do that, help yourself. But when we do this, we're applauding the ability of man. But when we say hallelujah, amen, we're giving God the glory. Somebody said, preacher, you're strange. It's what my wife says. But I'm just saying to you, I'm simply saying to you, give God the glory. He's the one that gets the glory. And if you want to be loved by him, I'm telling you, he will get the glory out of what you're doing. If I'd have been pastoring in those days, and I'd have wanted somebody to come preach my meeting, I'd have wanted John. Well, I could have got Simon Peter. But more than likely, he'd have had us all talking dirty before the end of the week. And that ministry's still going pretty strong. I could have got Matthew, but he'd have come just for the offering. That ministry's still going big. I could have caught Thomas, but he'd have had us all doubting we're saved by the end of the week. That ministry's still going pretty big. I'd have wanted John, but I couldn't have got him. Why? He's busy. Well, what's he doing? He's taking care of the Lord's mother. Goodness, are you getting that? Are you understanding what I'm saying? He's taking care of the Lord's mother. Woo! We need to get this right here. I may not get no further than this. Can you still hear me? Thank you, Lord, for the rain. We don't need it, but thank you for it anyway. But hey, I'm just simply saying we need some young men that'll purpose to start out on the bottom. One thing I was studying today, and the Holy Ghost said to me that I've never had said before. I studied the temptation of Christ. You know what the devil done to the Lord in the exact same way he does to all of us? He took him up, then he told him to jump down, to cast himself down, and then he told him, took him up higher, and then told him to fall down and worship him. So in other words, the devil takes you up first and then lets the bottom fall out. But God said, if you'll humble yourself first, I'll exalt you. Amen. Now, hey, I'm trying to say to you in this hour, if you'll be the servant that God wants you to be, there's no telling what He'll do with you. I don't know how I got here tonight, but just where we are. Oh, we've got too many that said, boy, look at me. Oh, God, help us. Help us. Help us. Help us. Oh, in these days, if we can only be what God wants us to be, I dare say that there was probably nobody ever went by and said to John, boy, you're doing a good job, Mama Sitting. He probably never told him what a good job. He was probably never told, probably never applauded, probably never patted on the back. But it didn't matter. He got his marching orders from an old rugged cross. See, all the rest of them didn't understand him because none of the rest of them was there. Amen. That's why Simon Peter said over in John 21, when the Lord told Simon Peter what he wanted him to do, Simon Peter looked around and saw John and said, well, now, Lord, what's he going to be doing? Well, it wasn't none of Simon Peter's business. If Simon Peter hadn't have forsaken the cross, he would have known what John was going to be doing. Let me say to you, when folk don't understand why that you just keep doing what you're doing, they don't have to understand. You just keep on doing it. There's an all-seeing eye of God. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm trying to say that John was loved by Jesus because he didn't have to be applauded for what he done. I believe what I'm preaching, Brother Scott. I believe it. Brother Dwayne, I believe it with all of my heart. Brother Kenneth, in these days, I'm just preaching to you out of my heart. I won't get to finish this. But I'm just telling you, if we can ever get to the place that we realize that He's nothing, I mean that we're nothing and He's everything, that's when the world is going to see Him instead of us. Listen to this right here. Colossians 1:23, is it? Makes a statement here that I've been meditating on, Brother Billy, for a while. It says this, that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Don't want you, is it verse 23? I want you to listen carefully. He says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, not the hope of heaven. He didn't say Christ in you, the hope of heaven. He said, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you know what glory is? It's the manifested presence of God. It's when God reveals Himself. That's the glory of God. And He said, it's Christ in you. That word hope means the potential for. Christ in you, the potential for glory. Somebody said, boy, we need to see the glory of God. It's Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in me. The hope, the potential for glory. Christ in you. The hope for revival. Christ in you. The potential for revival. For the hope of glory. Christ in you. The hope of the manifested presence of God. You know why we're not seeing it? Because it's Christ in us. And He can't get out. He's in us, but he's not manifested. Paul said, my desire is that I may manifest the Lord in my body. What is manifest? That he may be seen more than Paul. Lord, how did I ever get here? But I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost is here tonight. I know that. There's real potential for the glory of God to be manifested in our midst, in every individual that's here that's saved. Because it's Christ in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But the only reason we're not seeing the manifested glory of God in these days is that they're seeing too much of us. And the reason they're seeing too much of us is that this us has not been broken yet. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said in verse 7, he said, for you have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He said, you got a treasure in you. But he said, the treasure is in the earthen vessel. He didn't say the treasure was in a golden vessel. He didn't say the treasure was in a silver vessel. He didn't even say a treasure in a wooden vessel, because you can't break none of those. But it's a treasure in an earthen vessel. And the treasure is in the earthen vessel. What is that treasure? Verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 4. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in your hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What's the treasure in us? Light. It's light. It's the light that God put there. But the world can't see the light. The light's the manifested presence of God. And the world can't see the light because the vessel's got it housed. But the treasure's in the earthen vessel. So how in the world is the world ever going to see the light? Got to do something with a vessel. Judges chapter 7, there's a man by the name of Gideon. God said, Gideon, I'm going to give you victory over the Midianites. You know the long story of argument and fleeces. But then God said, here's what I'm going to do, Gideon. Here's how you're going to get the victory. I want you to take a vessel, put a light in it. And he said, all I want you to do is to take the vessel with the light in it in your left hand. It specifically says the left hand, and the trumpet in the right hand. Now Gideon's congregation has dwindled down to 301. Don't forget Gideon. And started out with 32,000, ended up with 300. And he said, now I'm going to give you the victory. How are we going to do it? With a light and a vessel and a trumpet. Now he said, what I want you to do. He said, at midnight, I want you to go out there. You put 100 there and 100 there, and you take 100 with you. And at midnight, I want you to blow the trumpet. And then I want you to break the vessel. Listen, if they got a handful of vessel and a handful of trumpet, how could you break the vessel? Had to be with a trumpet. See, the trumpet not only sounds, but it breaks. The trumpet, which is a picture of the herald, word of God. And if you allow that word, that spoken word of God, break you, then you don't have to fight your battles no more. All you've got to do is let your light shine. And the Bible said that those Midianites turned on one another. And then all of that other, the other 31,700, the Bible said they pursued the Midianites. They won a victory. But you know what Gideon and his 300 did? They never raised a sword. They never pulled a bow. Only thing they did was stood and let their light shine. It'll still work. There's treasure in earthen vessels here tonight. There's the potential for real revival in every individual that's saved here tonight. There's Christ in you, the hope of glory, here tonight. But we're sitting here dead and lifeless. You know what's happened? Vessel ain't been broken. Nobody appreciates the breaking process. But I want to tell you, he can never mold you till he first melts you. You can't mold hardened clay. Only thing you can do, listen to me carefully, I'm about done. I never do this. I done it Sunday night and I'm doing it again tonight. Leave my outline, but God's here. Yeah. I know it. Yeah. I'm sending out a plea to you. Please let God do something with us. There's real potential for the power of God, but it's in us. That breaking process is tough and hard. Jacob now not standing, but clinging. Why? Because we've been broken. And if you get to where you can't stand on your own, that's a good place to get. Somebody said, well, I thought we were supposed to stand. Oh, it's much better to stand in Him than stand alone. Much better to stand with Him and cling to Him than anything else. When God goes to breaking, don't get mad at Him. Don't get upset with Him. John, where you been? Haven't saw you around in a while. Oh, I've been doing what the Lord gave me to do. Taking care of the Lord's mother. The greatest preacher of them all, taking care of the Lord's mother. It ain't no wonder John wrote How to Live Every Day. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. It ain't no wonder the Lord came by and gave him the greatest revelation anybody's ever got of himself. It ain't no wonder. He hadn't been in a whole ministry, a whole life of ministry in the limelight. He's been back yonder on back street. And all of a sudden, that old boy that everybody thought was done got a better revelation of God than anybody else. Young men, young women, moms and dads, whatever you do, in God's breaking process, let Him do it. And I can assure you what he breaks away of you, he'll fill with himself. That is right. That is right. Well, my heart's burdened tonight. All day, this whole message has been burning in my soul, but that ain't what the Lord wanted. I know this. They summon this under this pavilion tonight that's right here that God wants to use greatly, but he can't do it until you get rid of as much of yourself as you can. That's right. I've learned a long time ago, it's not my way. It's his way. For about 20 years now, I've tried to quit working for the Lord. Been trying to work with him. Boy, what a difference it makes. I love you folk. I've been coming into this area now a while, and I know some of you by your first name. But I love you. I thank God for you. My days is coming to a close. I know that. But there's some others. Please. And I'm not trying to get you to think that I'm anything. I'm nothing. I'm out of the hills of Tennessee with no education at all. Didn't get saved last 27. Nothing. But I can tell you one thing. There is a God in heaven that wants to do something with you if you'll give yourself to him. I beg of you, don't waste the best of your years trying to get folk to see you. Give it to him. Let's stand. I don't even know if we'll have any music or not. I don't have no idea how we got here. And I don't know what God has said, even if he has, to anybody. But I know what's in my heart. Please give it to him now. Preacher, you come. Lord, I sensed all day, God in my soul, I don't know all that's happening. Tried to be obedient to you. And Lord, if one in this good-sized congregation, if there'd be really one that would want to be that disciple whom Jesus loved, oh, what a blessing it'd be. Please, God, help us, I pray. And we'll thank you for it. For it's in the blessed name of Jesus we pray.